So we are continuing our series in the book of Exodus today, and we are just going to jump right in. Exodus chapter 4, starting with verse 27, going to 31. In the story, there's a hero named Moses, and Moses is on his way to Egypt to set the Hebrew slaves free. Okay, this is a plan that he and God have made together, and or God made the plan, and Moses is going to go do it. And so he's on his way to set the Hebrew slaves free. Verse 27 says this, "Now the Lord had said to Aaron," hold on, that's not Moses, who's Aaron? Aaron is Moses' brother, that he doesn't, has never really spent any time with, "Go out into the wilderness to meet Moses." So Aaron went and met Moses at the mountain of God and embraced him. Moses then told Aaron everything the Lord had commanded him to say. And he told him about the miraculous signs the Lord had commanded him to perform. Then Moses and Aaron returned to Egypt and called all the elders of Israel together. Aaron told them everything the Lord had told Moses, and Moses performed the miraculous signs as they watched. Then the people of Israel were convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron. When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. Here we have this interesting moment where Aaron meets his brother. We don't know exactly how much time Aaron and Moses have spent together in their life, but we know that it's very little. It's not a lot of time that they've spent together. Aaron, we learn in this text, was obedient. Aaron was an obedient child of God. He was bold. He just went and did what God asked him to do. And he was willing to take a risk, willing to take a risk to trust himself to Moses. And I want you to pay attention to Aaron in the story today. Israel, the slaves, they don't get to be free from slavery without Aaron showing up. Now, you think to yourself, well, I thought it was Moses that set the captives free. Well, really, it was Moses and Aaron. And we don't get to talk a lot about Aaron because Moses gets all the movie credits, all right? Moses gets all the special movies and all the stuff. Aaron kind of gets the shaft. He's over on the side somewhere. But the truth is, without Aaron, Moses doesn't happen. Moses needed Aaron. And we will learn more about Aaron in the days ahead. But check this out. Aaron is willing to be the number two guy. Eventually, in Scripture, you'll learn that Aaron becomes the first high priest of Israel. And even though Aaron is certainly not perfect and he's not going to be perfect, he will become, now watch, this is a really big honor. Aaron is going to become one of the great, 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 great grandfathers of Jesus. Aaron will become the great grandfather of Jesus. Moses was not a great grandfather of Jesus. Aaron was. Moses, you see, had spent 40 years of his life being raised by a pagan royal family of Egypt. Then the next 40 years of Moses' life were in the wilderness of Midian with little to no spiritual formation. 80 years have gone by. Aaron, on the other hand, his brother, had been raised and trained deep within the Jewish faith. Aaron was extremely important in this story. He was the understated hero. Moses needed Aaron, and apparently Aaron needed Moses too. My point is this. When you hear us talking about hearing from God and having a vision and going and taking on a challenge and doing something great for God, a lot of times you might hear that as us saying you need to be Moses. But the truth is, most people don't need to be Moses. Most people need to be Aaron. Don't feel like you need to be Moses if you are supposed to be Aaron. Both are important. But it would be pretty easy to argue that Aaron is the most critical person in the success of setting the slaves free. Aaron is deeply important. Verse 29, it says, "Then Moses and Aaron returned to Egypt." Somebody say, "Return to Egypt." Return to Egypt. Now, it doesn't seem like a very important set of words, but they are. I'll get back to it. He called all the elders of Israel together. Aaron told them everything the Lord told Moses. Moses performed the miraculous signs as they watched. I love this idea that Aaron's talking to the Hebrew leaders. Moses is doing his miracles. Remember the miracles? Like the staff turned into a snake. The arm goes in and out of his, goes into his cloak. Fine, comes out with leprosy, goes back in, comes back out, it's clean. And I imagine that on the distance between Midian and Egypt, I imagine Moses kept saying to his brother, "Hey, Aaron, watch this." You know, you just think, "Can you do that, Aaron? Watch." You know. Not only did Moses have an encounter with God, not only did Moses hear the voice of God on the side of that mountain calling him to greatness, not only did Moses get a crystal clear vision of what God wanted to do, but we see when it says Moses returned to Egypt, we see that Moses actually did it. Moses didn't just hear what he was supposed to do, he then went and did what he was supposed to do. And when you read through the book of Exodus and much of the Bible, in fact, you don't get a very real sense of time. You don't really get to think through how long was it as they returned to Egypt. It kind of reads when you're reading it like it happened 10 seconds later. Okay, Moses hears from God, 10 seconds later they're in Egypt. That's not what happened. It took a long time to get from Midian to Egypt. In reality, the time between hearing the command and the doing of the command was at least several months, if not a year or two. Between hearing the plan and doing the plan were hundreds of miles of desert wilderness. Between hearing the plan and doing the plan, there were all kinds of family obligations that needed to be attended to. There were business commitments. There were day-to-day necessities of surviving as temporary nomads in the desert, walking through the desert. There was also an interruptive, unplanned, and unsterile circumcision, as we learned about last week, all the way as they're returning to Egypt. This did not take 10 seconds. This was what I would call the space in between. The space in between. And all of us in the room, we have moments in our life which we would call the space in between. The space between the moment you know what you're supposed to do and the moment you do it. That's the space in between. It might also be called a desert. That desert space in between. Like Moses had to go across the desert to get to Egypt. The space in between for you is oftentimes like a desert. But I would encourage you on your space in between not to wait. Don't wait. Just take the next step. Then take the next step. And then take the next step. And then take the next step. How do you get across the desert? One step at a time. That's how you get across the desert. How do you get through that space in between? You take one step at a time. For nearly all of us, the path from hearing the plan of God and the path of doing the plan of God involves us getting across our own version of a desert. And can I just say this to you today? If you have a really clear sense of what it is that God wants to do with your life, what it is that you believe that you're supposed to be doing, and if you're here today and you feel a little bit anxious or frustrated that you're not there yet, I just want to remind you, it's not your responsibility right now to complete that vision. It's your responsibility to take the next step. You see, you just have to take the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. But right now, it's just about taking whatever your next step is. If the plan in your life is to be a doctor, then your desert is going to be getting through all of that training. It takes a long time to become a doctor. Thank God for that. I don't want like doctors have been trained for a day. I had to go through a lot of training to do what I do. I went to 2 universities, 1 college, and 1 seminary over 8 years. It's a lot of training. looking back, I'm like, that's a long time. But you just have to take the next step. Take the next class. Take the next semester. Take the next year. Just take the next step. If the plan is to get healthy, then the desert in your life might be implementing healthy patterns. Actually doing the things that you know what to do already. And then when you mess up, your next step is getting back up and taking the next step. If the plan is to start a ministry, I can say to you this, there are literally hundreds if not thousands of steps that need to be taken. And so every day you start taking the next step. Just take the next step. That next step isn't going to go away. You just take whatever's next. I think about one of our Bible heroes named David, King David. You might know him as. But before David was a king, he was just a shepherd. And he was a teenager. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says this. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. This is the day that David, as a teenager, was anointed to be the next king of Israel. Here it is. David has a crystal clear picture of what it is he's supposed to do. But it was 15 years. 15 years before David was actually allowed to be the king. During that 15-year desert experience, David didn't just sit back and wait. He didn't just inform himself. He did many great exploits during those 15 years. His encounter with the giant Goliath took place during this time. David, during his desert times, he won battles and he became a great leader of men and he operated in faith. David became, during his desert experience, what he needed to be to get onto the throne. He developed his skills. He developed his character. But David had to get through the desert in order to get to the throne. And friends, that's absolutely true for our life today. If you want to get to the throne, you have to walk through the desert. Moses had to get through the desert in order to set his people free. If you want to get to the other side, if you want to get to the vision place, if you want to get to the good stuff, if you want to get to the things God wants you to do, you've got to get through your desert. And that happens one step at a time. Tell your neighbor, one step at a time. One step at a time, okay? I know some of you are already trying to figure out how to take two steps at a time. You can't take two steps at a time. That's called hopping, all right? You take one step at a time. What desert, the question for us today, what desert do you need to get through? What is your desert? What desert do you need to get through? It might be a big desert with a lot of years that it'll take. Then I would suggest that you take the next step today. In fact, when I say today, I mean like an hour after you leave church today. Take your next step. For some of you, you might not need to wait for an hour. Some of you might need to, at the close of service today, put out your cell phone. Turn it on because it's off right now, I know. And start taking your next step. Take your next step today. But you know what happens when you're in the desert? You get tired. Does anybody ever get tired of taking the next step? You get tired in the desert. It's hot in the desert. It's challenging in the desert experiences of life. And there is a temptation when you are in the desert to take a nap. To just lie down and take a nap in the desert. But you know what happens when you do that in the desert? You get dehydrated. And you die. And when you lay down in the desert, you will spiritually dehydrate. And so friends, I challenge you, don't lay down in the desert. Just take the next step. Let me say to somebody in the room today, you've been in the desert for too long. and you've become spiritually dehydrated. And I feel very clearly today that God wants to say to you, He wants to send to you a fresh river of life and bring you back to life. He wants to spiritually rehydrate you. He doesn't want you to die in the desert. In verse 31, it says, "Then the people of Israel were convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron. When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them," that's the critical part there. "When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped." They did not worship Aaron. They did not worship Moses. They worshiped God because they recognized God was concerned about them. God cared about them. God was aware of what was going on. You see, this is a group of people that have been in slavery for 400 years. Over the last few months or couple of years, they've been crying out to God fervently for rescue. And you know, sometimes when you're in that situation, you might be tempted to think, God's not there anymore. God's abandoned me. God's left me. I've ticked God off too much, too many times, and He's abandoned me. And when you recognize that God has not abandoned you, that God is concerned for you, that God cares for you, it does something inside of you that's good. In life, if you've ever felt all alone, if you've ever been in a space where you feel like nobody cared for you at all, and then suddenly you hear the greatest news in the world, and then we realize that that news is for you, it makes you sit up and pay attention. This news that God had not forgotten about His people is a common theme that we find throughout the Bible, a common theme that we find in Scripture. In fact, there is one moment, just a couple thousand years after this situation with Moses, just a couple thousand years, a little more than 2,000 years, there's another group of messengers that are sent to show up and announce to a different group of oppressed people that their rescue is at hand. The parallel between these stories is really significant. You find it in Luke chapter 2. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them," the messenger from God, "and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel assured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger.'" This is the announcement of Christmas. You're like, "Pastor Kurt, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Give us one more week. One more week. One more week." It just happened to be what's next. This is the announcement of Christmas. The angel is telling the shepherds, who are Hebrews, who are Israelites, who are in oppression at this moment. Romans have taken their country captive. They are not quite in slavery, but they are oppressed. And here the messenger, the angel, comes and tells them they are going to be rescued. Now, they happen to think that this rescue means that this baby Jesus is going to like take over the government. But it's not that kind of rescue. This is a rescue that won't be temporary. This is a rescue that will be permanent for all people, for all ages. But Moses and the angels were both announcing similar messages. Your long-awaited rescue is at hand. Very similar message. To the Hebrews in slavery, their physical rescue was coming. To the shepherds on the side of a hill, it was that their spiritual rescue was right now. On the screen, I have a couple of pictures I took when I was in Bethlehem. This is modern Bethlehem, literally from the hill where the shepherds were announced. And there's another hill right there. This is kind of what it would look like now, okay? And then there's another shot This is the kind of place, this is right next to the pictures that you saw. This is the kind of place where the shepherds would have been hanging out with their sheep, feeding their sheep, the sheep grazing. The angel shows up right here, and begins to say this to the shepherds. In both situations, with Moses and with the angels and the shepherds, in both situations, it was clear God was concerned for his people. God cared about his people. He didn't like what was going on. He wanted something better. He wanted something different. In the first rescue, it was extremely refreshing and renewing. And you just imagine how the leaders of the Hebrews must have become immediately overwhelmed to the point of tears as they realize they have not been forgotten by their God. They have not been abandoned by God. But he's fully aware and has seen all of their trials. And now the promised rescue was at hand. They had been in their Egyptian desert, and now Moses shows up, and it's just like jumping into a cold river on a scorching hot day. Boom, immediately refreshed. I don't know if you've ever worked a long, hot day of manual labor, and you pull out of the cooler a nice, shiny red can of ice-cold Coca-Cola. You didn't know where I was going with that, I know. And you take a drink, and you're like, so refreshing. But it's kind of this moment, they're immediately spiritually refreshed. But the second rescue with the shepherds, that's a permanent rescue. The shepherds in the field, as the worship team comes up, the shepherds in the field, they got up, and they started running around and telling everybody, our rescue's at hand, our rescue's at hand, our rescue's at hand. They're so excited because the one promised to come had finally arrived. And the promise had a name, and the name was Jesus. Now just think about this. It was a couple thousand years between Moses and Jesus. And it just turns out that it's been a couple thousand years between Jesus and us. 2,000 more years have passed since the angels announced the birth of Jesus. And here's what's exciting. 2,000 years ago, Jesus started rescuing people. And 2,000 years later, he's still rescuing people. The announcement that God is concerned about you, that God cares about you, that God sees your every situation, every challenge, every struggle, everything you have to overcome. God knows every step you have to take in that desert. That message is still here. Your rescue is at hand. Your Savior is here. Would you stand with me as we close? Let me say this to you. Maybe you forgot about this, or maybe you didn't know. God is concerned about you today. In the sense that God cares for you. He's truly concerned. He has seen your sufferings. He has seen your trials. He has seen your struggles. And he very much wants to be involved in your life. He very, very much wants to be involved in helping you overcome those challenges and struggles. That is a message that is refreshing. That is a message that is renewing. And that is a message that still applies to every single person on this planet. And I know that there's some in the room today that you didn't know this. You honestly did not know that God cared for you. Today, I get to be that messenger for you. God is concerned for you. God cares for you. Let me also say this. There are some of you today that you started your journey, that space in between, and you you got tired, you got distracted, and you took a nap in the desert. You laid down in the desert, and you have become spiritually dehydrated. Today, I want to encourage you, let God pour His river of life into you today. Let God refresh you with His Holy Spirit. Let God spiritually rehydrate you today. If you need to be refreshed, let God refresh you. Stop looking. Stop looking to be refreshed in other places. Stop looking to be refreshed in other people. Stop looking to be refreshed in other things. All of those things will continue to spiritually dehydrate you. The only way to be spiritually rehydrated is in the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit refresh you today. The worship team is going to lead us in this. Friends, maybe today you need to be spiritually rehydrated and refreshed. I want to encourage you to come up here today. Maybe some of you are realizing for the first time in your life, God cares for me. And you want to respond to that today. And you want to ask God to reveal Himself to you. You want to respond to Him through Jesus. I would encourage you to come up today as well. Father, today we know that, and we are being reminded that no matter where we are at, what we're going through, that You are concerned, that You care. We are not left alone. We are not abandoned. And that Your great rescue plan, Your great rescue mission is in play. So today across this room, I ask that You will help us all to rest in that truth, that You are concerned and that You care. Today I also pray that You would reveal Yourself to each and every one, that You would feel each and every one in this room with Your Holy Spirit, with Your river of life that will just flow in and refresh those that have been stuck in the desert for too long. Those that have perhaps even given up, may You just refresh them today. May You bring them back to life. Breathe something new inside of them. In the same way that You fill us with Your river of life, would You let that river of life spring out of us today and refresh other people as well? May the message that we hear of Your concern for us be a message that we carry to others as well, that You care and You are concerned and You have a plan to bring rescue. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 God bless you all. Have a great day.